by Rainey and me in this paper. So today I won't be able to say something new, but I'll try to explain what this duality is. So I apologize for those of you who have heard my talk before, but maybe not all of you are familiar with this FRW-CFT. So I hope this is useful for some people. Okay, so the Kolmann-Deutscher instanton looks like this in Euclidean space. So it's a deformed S4. And this describes, this is a semi-classical description of bubble nucleation in De Sitter space. And the Lorentzian geometry is given by this. I'm drawing a Penrose diagram with time reversal symmetry because I want to emphasize the symmetry of this space. So, okay. So there's an open FRW universe inside the bubble. Yeah. Okay, so domain wall is here and the FRW universe is here. So we have open FRW universe inside the bubble. And we assume the final cosmological constant is zero, so the scale factor approaches e to the t at late time. And so this geometry has a SO31 symmetry. And so this is an isometry of this three-dimensional hyperboloid. And in this region, it acts on this lower dimensional De Sitter space. Okay, so, and our proposal is that our proposal is that the dual theory is a two-dimensional CFT defined on S2 at the boundary of three-dimensional hyperboloid. So this constant time slice. And our proposal is that this dual theory contains gravity. So the scale factor is of two-dimensional gravity is called Liouville field. And Liouville field plays the role of time. So, as some speakers mentioned, so an observer in this universe, which we call census taker, sees more and more stuff as he goes to late time. And by Liouville plays the role of time, I mean the universe in the late time is described by a theory with finer and finer cut lattice points. Well, so Liouville field specifies how much volume there is in a reference scale. So in other words, it specifies how many lattice points there are in a reference scale. So that's our basic picture. Increase. Yes. 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 Okay. So in this talk, I will compute correlation functions in this bulk geometry and see how this duality works. Before computing correlation functions, I'd like to make some remarks about functions on the hyperboloid. So the correlation functions should be the function of geodesic distance on the hyperboloid. And so natural basis for the function on the hyperboloid are the harmonics. So these are regular functions which are eigenmodes of the Laplacian. And so they typically look like this. So because the space is non-compact, it has a continuous spectrum, and the normalizable mode has real K. So normalizable mode should decay as into the minus R as we go to large radius, because volume grows like e to the 2R. But we sometimes need non-normalizable mode. So these are modes with imaginary K. These are discrete modes with imaginary K. So for example, K equals I mode. Has zero eigenvalue of the Laplacian. So constant is one example of this, but not only constant. We can have arbitrary angular momentum on S2, which approach finite value at large radius. This is basically because angular derivative drops out of the Laplacian at large radius. And this type of mode is important when we study massless mode, massless fields. Yes, that's right. Yes, if you are doing flat space physics, and if you're computing correlation functions in flat space, and you, if you look at it in hyperbolic slicing, these models are not excited. Yes, that's right. And yeah, okay. And another natural basis on H3 is it's a basis in terms of scaling dimensions. So we can classify the fields or operators by the scaling property with respect to the geodesic distance, or in terms of Laplacian, it has this eigenvalue. And the correlation functions in the Kolmann-Delitzsch background can be expressed in either way. But this expression is useful when we study near boundary ring. Infinite number, discrete tower of operators. Yes, I will show you that in a moment. It's exactly the same as in ADS CFT. So it plays a role of cutoff that we can. That we can set at arbitrary scale. Yeah. So. it's okay. well, thank you. Yeah. No, okay, so our proposal is that R should correspond to some reference scale. And we propose that theory is defined on a space with some intrinsic cutoff. So Liouville specifies that cutoff, and we propose that time. I plan to write this later, but let me write it here. So there's some length scale of the physical, some physical length scale. And there's some arbitrary reference length scale and some UV lattice scale. So our proposal is that this is a log scale. Our proposal is that the ratio of the physical scale and the reference scale is set by R. And the ratio between this and this is set by T or Liouville. Well, we scale. Yeah, and there are some things that depends on R minus P. It's some arbitrary scale, like, well, in ADS CFT, the theory is really conformal, but you can introduce a cutoff at some arbitrary scale. I would say L ref is an analog of a cutoff in ADS CFT. It's some intrinsic. Yeah. So yes. So yeah. So and as we go to late time. You are asking the non-trivial time dependence in FRW. Mass. Yeah. Right now we don't really know how to study massive field in terms of this bulk. This boundary theory. We are mostly studying fields that is massless here and may have mass in the force vacuum. And yeah, so massive field will. So massive field will reach. Massive particles will reach this time-like infinity, and So in today's talk, I'll mostly talk about massless field, and massive field should be described in another sector that. I don't focus on this talk, but I write also that sector in a moment. So I'd like to show how to compute correlation function in this bulk geometry. So we have to choose the vacuum for the fluctuations, and we do this by Euclidean prescription or Hartle-Hawking prescription. So, namely, we compute correlation function in that Euclidean geometry and analytically continue. So we. So we compute correlation function in this geometry, So the effect. so effect of the ancestor vacuum enters through the choice of vacuum. So even in the strict thin wall limit where the FRW universe is exactly flat, the correlation function is different from the flat space correlation function written in this hyperbolic coordinate. So, yeah, okay, so I will explain how to compute correlation function using one or two balls. So for simplicity, let's consider free massless scalar. And we want to find the correlation function which satisfies this equation. So to solve this, we first solve the Schrödinger equation in the x direction, which is a non-trivial direction where we don't have a symmetry. So this is x, and it corresponds to this direction, which intersects the domain wall, and we solve we find the complete set of solution to this equation. This is just a free massless scalar, and I rescaled them so that it has a standard kinetic term, and we have this term due to that rescaling. So this effective potential looks like looks like this. So a dot over. So it's flat on the flat side, and there's a delta function at the domain wall, and it goes like this on the Dissita side. So if we can find if we can solve this Schrödinger problem, so we know the correlation function. So this potential is not pathological in terms of Schrödinger equation, and the thin wall case is the simplest controlled case. So first we solve this, and then we consider massive green function on S2, S3, green. Green's function with mass k squared plus one. It's given by this. Okay, so using these, so we can write the correlation function in this form. So you can easily see that this satisfies that first equation if these form a complete basis in the X space. So and yeah, so in that similar approximation, this can be written in terms of the reflection coefficient. In this way. So so the modes with real K are the wave solutions that coming in from this side. But if there's a bound state in that potential, we have to include that contribution. And for massless field, there's a bound state. At k equals I, so the bound state poles are in the upper half plane in our notation, and also this expression has kinematical poles. At integer multiple of I. So this is basically the consequence of the compactness of S3. So there's a double pole at k equals I. And to include the bound state in this expression, we deform this contour so that it encircles the bound state pole. So this is the expression of the Euclidean correlator, and we. Include yes, because we need a complete set of complete basis in the x direction here to get the delta function on the right hand side. Normalizable bound state. So the bound state is localized around this domain wall, and so the normalizability of the bound state is basically because of the compactness of this space. Yes. Yeah, yes. That's right. Yes. Yes. So the presence of the bound state here means the presence of the non-normalizable mode here. So. Well, should be included in the correlation function. Yeah, naively so, but yes. Yes, and if we don't do that, the correlation function will be singular at here, or derivative of the correlation function will be singular. Yeah, and by constant mode here, more precisely, the mode that stays finite as we go approach the boundary, but it can have arbitrary angular dependence. And so we make analytic continuation for that expression. So when we do this, the first term corresponds to the flat space correlator, Minkowski correlator, and this second term is an effect of the ancestor vacuum, and I think the massive mode in the FRW should be included here, but at the moment we don't know how precisely they should be represented. So massive mode will in general. Yeah, uplift this potential. By the tower, you mean the Kaluza-Klein tower in the. I don't know the answer, but okay. So first, you ask about the scalar field that loads down the potential. So we tried to taking into account the back reaction from that kind of field seems confusing. I mean, we tried to to study the FRW geometry that is created by such a rolling down field. And we tried to do the renormalization group interpretation. And we got confused and we don't really know how to think about it. But if we ignore back reaction from those fields, then I think we can more or less do the same analysis for that kind of field and see what kind of operator corresponds to that kind. Yes. I'd like to talk about it later. So we make this analytic continuation, and we can write this correlator as a sum over terms with definite scaling dimension. So we get a tower of CFT operators. So there's some number here, and we have these prefactors, and by I mean the behavior of conformal field with dimension delta. And I should say T1 R1 omega. Omega is an angle on two sphere. Okay, thank you. So, and I use the fact that for geodesic distance on the hyperboloid is a log of geodesic distance on the boundary. So we interpret this first set of operators as operators defined at the UV scale. So it has a wave function renormalization from running from UV scale to the physical scale. And we interpret the second set of operators as those defined at at reference scale. It has a wave function renormalization for running from reference to physical scale, and the coupling constant running from UV scale to the reference scale. So, okay, so yeah, okay, so yeah, yes, okay. Okay, yeah, okay, so yeah, so in this sense, one bulk field corresponds to a tower of CFT operators. And we can compute graviton correlator in the same way. And so transverse traceless mode on the hyperboloid is essentially similar to the massless scalar. So there's a non-normalizable mode. And actually, the non-normalizable mode of graviton is a pure gauge in the three-dimensional sense. But it's basic. But if there's a boundary, there's a physical effect. So it's basically determines how boundary is embedded in the bulk. So and so we can compute the to correlate of two-dimensional curvature. And this stays finite as we approach the boundary. And it has dimension two. So we think that we are studying Liouville field in a semi-class Liouville theory in a semi-classical approximation around some fixed fixed expectation value. And the dimension two piece of the energy of the graviton correlator is transverse traceless in the two-dimensional sense. So it's transverse traces in the hyperboloid. But for dimension two, this term drops out, and it's transverse in the two-dimensional sense. So we interpret this as an energy momentum tensor, which should be traceless and conserved and has dimension two. So this is a piece of evidence for this duality. And we are now trying to study three-point function. I'm working on that with Daniel Park. And so from the three-point function, graviton scalar three-point function, we should be able to read off the operator product expansion. So that will provide a test of the identification of one field in the bulk with a tower of CFT operator. And also it fixes the normalization of energy momentum tensor. So we should be able to compute the central charge. I think we are treating the Liouville field semi-classically around some fixed value. So I think we get just yes, I think we basically get the matter central charge. Yes, unless we study Liouville exactly, I don't think we don't get zero total central charge. I expect that we get matter central charge from this analysis. Yeah, that's all I have to say.